except for those that are born in the kingdom of God. And I think if we were to look at the context of this, and this ain't what I'm preaching about, but I think if we were to look at the context of this, what is Jesus saying that John was the greatest? I think that it could be that John was the prophet that broke the 400-year silence between Malachi and the time of Christ. We could say that he was the prophet that prepared the way of the Lord. He's the one that is in direct preparation, I guess is the best way to say it, the direct preparation of the Messiah. And then we can say he's the only prophet in history that seen Christ. He's the only prophet in history that knew the Messiah personally. But we also see that in this text, Jesus tells us that even the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. How is it that we're greater than John? I think that if we just were to look at it, I mean, we have more knowledge than John. How's that? We've seen Christ crucified. We've seen Christ resurrected. We have a complete canon of Scripture. John didn't have any of that. John died before Christ died. John didn't see the resurrection. Can I say, we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. He preached about the Messiah. He preached about God. You've got God. If you're saved, you've got God living on the inside of you. So I have to say that we are greater than John the Baptist. But leading into the message here, I do think that it's something that Christ said that John is greater than Moses. John is greater than Abraham. John is greater than Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Ezekiel, all the prophets, all the big names in your Bible, all the heroes of the faith. Christ said John's greater than all of them. So this evening, I just want to say, I just want to look at this for a minute. I want to look at the life of John and not necessarily what made him great, because I think in context what I've done said is what it is, but I just want to look at the life of the greatest. This man, Jesus said he was the greatest. I want to just look at his life. Turn with me to Luke chapter number 1. And I am going to jump around just a little bit. But I think that I need to this evening. Let's look at the life of the greatest. Luke chapter number 1, let's start reading in verse number 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, blameless. You know, the first thing that I see in the life of the greatest, in the life of John the Baptist, is he had a great preparation. If you don't know this, Zacharias and Elizabeth are John the Baptist's parents. And we see that his parents were godly people. His parents were people who lived and served God. Can I just say this? I believe that in the life of your children, it goes a long way for you parents to just live for the Lord. To just give your life to God, do the things that God tells you to do, live a godly life in front of your kids. I believe that it goes a long way. Can I say this? If you go on down verse number 13, here's Zacharias just doing his work, just living his life, trying to serve God in the best that he knows how. Verse 13, but the angel said unto him, fear not. We see God step in and bring a message to him. Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before them in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Here you've got Zacharias just living his life, trying to serve God. And God shows up with a message to change his life. Ain't that just how God works? Man, you're just living your life. You're trying your best to serve God. You come to church and you're just living your life for Him. And the next thing you know, He hits you with a message that'll change your life. This message, can I say, this was a message that told Zacharias, I want to use your child. I want to use your child in a great way. Should we not want our kids to be used in a great way? Here you've got a man just doing his job where he's supposed to be, doing what he's supposed to do, and he gets the message that God said, I want to use your child to do something great. Can I say, if Zacharias was not where he was supposed to be, if Zacharias was not close enough to God to hear what God had to say to him, it would have changed John's outcome, and we'll talk about that here in just a minute. But really, can I tell you this? How Zacharias reacted to the message that God gave him about his child affected his child. As parents, we better be real careful as to what we do with the message that comes from God to us. It very well could affect our children. But can I say, I believe that what Zacharias does with this message from God, I believe it affects John. Look at the end of the chapter. Chapter number 1, verse number 76. And this is Zacharias talking. He's praising God is what he's doing to all the people that are around John the Baptist at 8 days old. Verse 76 says, And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto the people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. You've got Zacharias right here praising God into the ears of all the people that are around him when John is 8 days old. And this is supposition, I understand. But if he's praising God and he's pushing and telling everybody else, this is the prophet that's to prepare the way for the Lord. I don't think you can convince me otherwise that the whole upbringing of John as he's being raised, he comes 5 years old, 10 years old, 15 years old, the whole time Zacharias and Elizabeth are saying, God's got something special for you to do. God's got a plan for you. God has told me that I've got something for you to do that nobody else can do. Can I tell you, from the time that John was a little bitty old thing, he was being encouraged by his parents saying, God's got something for you. How many times do we encourage our kids to go... Think about all the things you encourage your kids to do. Do good in school, do good in sports, be a good friend to your friends. How many times do we think about encouraging them saying, God's got something for you to do? Is that not right? God has something for every single one of our kids to do. God has something for my kids to do, for your kids to do. So many times we try to encourage them to be the best that they can be at whatever, fill in the blank. How many times do we push them and say, be the best that you can be because God has something for you to do? I really truly believe that from the time that John the Baptist was born, we can see it, he's 8 days old right here. From the time he was little, he was being encouraged by his parents. God's got something for you to do. God wants you to do something for others. And for anybody that don't know, God has something for you to do. For you young people that may think that nobody cares. For you young people who may think, man, I'm all alone. Nobody worries about me. Nobody even sees me. God knows you. God knows where you're at. And not only that, God has something for you to do. Don't never let nobody tell you that you're worthless. Don't never let nobody tell you that there's nothing that you can do for God. You were born for a purpose. God has something for you to do. And this was being done to John the Baptist from the time he was little. And I understand there's many, maybe quite a few in here that was not raised with godly encouragement growing up. I wasn't. I was not raised in a godly home. I was raised in a home that they believed in God. That was the extent of it. Parents, encourage your children that they have something to do for the cause of Christ. And then not only that, look at verse number 80. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. I know once again this is some supposition. I don't know how old John the Baptist is whenever he was living in the deserts. But I would imagine, we'll look at John's life here in a few minutes, but I would imagine that the influences on John's personal life were probably only encouragement to do good. His parents right here has got him separated in the desert. All I'm going to talk about right here is separation. Can I tell you, John, the life of the greatest began with the parents keeping their child separated from the world. Can I tell you this? And Ben brought this up this morning talking about Achan. Can I tell you, if John the Baptist, and it seems to be that this is what happened, if John the Baptist is around only people who are encouraging him, telling him, man, you need to stick with it, God's got something big for you, he probably still stick with it. But can I tell you, if John the Baptist's parents, Zacharias and Elizabeth, let John be around a bunch of people that said, man, you're missing out on a lot. Man, why can't you just go over here with us for a little while? Why can't you go and do this or go and do that? Man, this calling that's on your life is putting you in a hard spot, ain't it? This calling that's on your life, man, you're missing out a whole lot. Can I tell you, if John the Baptist, John was a young person at one time. John was one that didn't have convictions. John was one that didn't have nothing pushing him in the back. He didn't have that relationship with God to keep him pushing it forward. I'd imagine that he lived a separated life. I'd imagine his parents kept him from the world. May I remind you of Amram and Jochebed with Moses? What'd they do? They hid him as long as they could. They tried to keep Egypt out of his life as long as they could. And Pastor, you preached on this, somebody did. And this right here just stuck with me. Jochebed, the mother of Moses, put something in Moses that all the schools of Egypt couldn't get out of him. Can I tell you, parents, if you just encourage your kids, if you keep them away from the world, keep them out as long as you can, instill them that God has a purpose, God has a plan, live your life for God, it might be that it doesn't matter what hits them in the future. Something in the back of their mind is going to say, man, God's got a plan for me. Can I tell you, and I'm going to get on this here in just a minute, but can I tell you, the calling of God on my life has kept me from a lot. I go to take this step, and I'm like, I can't do that. If God hadn't called me to preach, I might have just went on doing it. Can I tell you, keep your kids away from the world, because the world will influence them. The world don't care about God's will. They don't care about God's will. They don't care about what your kids are going to do for God. All they see is what God's hindering your kids from doing. And can I tell you, if John would have been encouraged or been influenced by those kind of people, no doubt he would not only have neglected the calling of God, but he probably would have dreaded it. He probably wouldn't have wanted nothing to do with it. Anyways, turn over to John chapter number 3, Luke chapter 3, just turn the page there. Not only do we see he had great preparation, but Luke chapter number 2, we're going to see he had a great calling. Luke chapter number 3 and verse number 2, it says, and I don't need to read verse 1, but Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, let me read verse 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod the tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Eutaria, and of the region of Trachonitis, I messed that one up, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. Can I say, along with the preparation that his parents gave him, the encouragement, the separation, can I tell you, there came a message to God, to John. There came a time, a personal time, whenever God called out to John and said, that your parents have been encouraging you to do or to be looking forward to, that we've been trying to keep you consecrated, separated for, it's time. Parents, can I tell you again, there'll be a time whenever God calls on your child. And I'm going to get to that here in just a minute. But not only did he have encouragement from his parents, the Word of God came. Look at verse 4. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Not only the encouragement from his parents, not only the personal Word of God that came to him, he had the written Word of God. Can I tell you this? If God comes to you with a calling, it will not go contrary to the Word of God. And somebody might get mad about this, but there's many women preachers out there who say God has called them to preach. I'm a God-called preacher. You're not. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit is not going to call you to do something that goes contrary to the Word of God. There's a lot of things out there that people say they're called to do that are just unscriptural. And let me just tell you, if the Spirit comes to you and tells you as a woman that you need to preach, it's not the Holy Spirit. So just anyways, with the encouragement from his parents, the personal Word of God to him, the backing up of the actual written Word of God, we see empowerment of assurance. With this biblical, sure calling from God, there's a lot of things that come out of this. Number one, you see confidence. Can I tell you, without confidence, there's a lot of things that you can't do right. Without the confidence, that I'm talking about a true calling here. Without the calling that God has put on your life that you know for sure, you're going to be stammering around. Just like the fella preached this morning. He preached about assurance of salvation. Can I tell you, if you don't have assurance of salvation, you're not going to serve Him right. Can I tell you, if you don't have the assurance of the direction you need, that God wants you to go, you're really going to be spinning your tires. Can I tell you that without confidence, you're not going far? But let me just say this. I'm talking about a calling, and everybody's thinking about a missionary, a preacher, all that kind of stuff. Not everybody's called to be a preacher. Not everybody's called to be a missionary. If you were to turn over to Romans chapter 1, and you don't need to, can I tell you that every single one of us are called to be saints? And what does that word saint mean? I've got it written down here. Most holy thing. We're called to be holy. 1 Thessalonians 4:7 says the same thing. Even though if you're a lady, you can't be called to preach. But can I tell you, as a child of God, there are callings that come from the Word of God as to how you need to live your life, the direction you need to go, what you need to do. Can I tell you, when God points something out in your life that's wrong, it's a calling. It doesn't have to be to preach. It could be stop going to the left and go to the right. That's God speaking to you. He tells us to be holy. Not only, though, is there confidence, but with confidence, there should come conviction. Because John had a sure calling from God that he had confidence in, can I tell you, there was a time when his lifestyle had to go the way God told him to go. And when that word came and said, listen, you've got to be the one to prepare the people for the Lord coming, he had to settle it in his heart, I'm going to do it. He had to settle in his heart that it doesn't matter what anybody says, it doesn't matter what anybody tells me to do or go contrary to it. He had a conviction about him that said, I'm going to do what God told me to do. Can I tell you, if you've got any kind of calling on your life, a call to live holy, there should be some boundaries set in front of you that says, I can't cross it. John made up his mind at the time of his calling and said, I have to do this. It's up to me. I have to do it. This is a personal walk with God. This is a personal calling from God. And then next, we see that not only does he have convictions, but he has boldness. Look at verse 7 there. Then said he to the multitudes that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham our father, for I say unto you that God is able to, of these stones to raise up the children unto Abraham. I'll stop reading there. He had boldness. Why did he have boldness? Because he had a calling that he had confidence in that brought conviction in his life. And man, he had to. He had to say what he had to say. How does a man of God stand behind a pulpit and preach? Because he's got a calling on his life. It makes me think of Brother Whittemore. He says, man, if I could just unzip and just show you what... There's something on the inside that says, I have to say it. I have to do it. It's this personal thing, this personal calling. Once again, God has something for you to do. And whenever He lets you know, man, there needs to be some conviction inside of you that says, I've got to do it. And it'll give you the boldness to stick with it. He had boldness no matter the consequences. He got his head cut off. I didn't read it. But we'll see later. Because of his boldness, he stood up to Herod. And Herod cut his head off for it. How does a man do that? Because he has a calling. Because it's something that God has worked in his heart. And he's got to fulfill it. But then with all of that, we see perseverance. This calling was his ministry. This calling was personal. God spoke to him. He's the one that had to do it. Jimmy, I think you said something a long time ago, and it kind of stuck with me. He said, a missionary does not need to go to a place because he loves the people. A missionary needs to go to some place because he loves God, and God told him to go to that place. Because those people are going to fail you. There's going to come a time where them people, you might not love them like you used to. But can I tell you, if your calling is set on God and what God told you to do, it'll give you some stickability. It'll make you persevere to the end. John had a great calling. And man, you have a great calling. Whatever it is that God has for your life, go with it. Put everything into it. Turn to John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. He had great preparation. We see he had a great calling, but he also had a great ministry. Verse 25. John chapter 3, verse 25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. What they're saying there, if you study that out and look at it, John, you probably should stop preaching about Christ because Christ has taken all your followers. That's pretty much what they're saying. You hit verse number 27. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am set before him. Verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. John's ministry was a great ministry because it was all about Christ. From beginning to end, he said, You all are telling me, yeah, I need to quit preaching. I need to quit telling everybody to go to Christ because I'm losing my people. John said, that's the point. John said, I must decrease, he must increase. John said that the point of my job is to send everybody to Christ. My job is to work myself out of a job. My job is to prepare these people for when He comes. He's here. They need to go to Him. He was fulfilling his ministry because he was decreasing and Christ was increasing. His relationship and his ministry, his great ministry, was one that was not about himself. His ministry was one that was submitted to Christ. Look at John 5. Still looking at his great ministry. Verse 32. This is Jesus talking about John. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. John, it's verse 35, he, John, was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in that light. Can I tell you, John's ministry was great because he was to tell others about Christ. It was a very simple ministry, but it was a ministry that was critical. Can I say, Jesus right here says he was a burning and a shining light. I sit back and I think about our church, where most of us are at church 5 or 6 days a week. Most of us pray every day. Most of us try to read our Bibles every day. Most of us listen to preaching most of the time. Almost every day. Here we are trying to do all these things, listen to all these things. And can I tell you, whenever it comes to the ministry of the Great Commission, I can't answer that for you. Where are you at? John the Baptist's ministry was a great one because he was to lead others to Christ. He was to pull others to Christ. How many times do we listen to teaching and preaching, and we're in the church, we're about the church, we're doing everything about that has to do with the church? What are we doing outside of the church? He had a great ministry to lead others to Christ. We have a great ministry to lead others to Christ. Can I tell you, I think if we would just put into shoe leather the things that we learn, we could have a great ministry like John. But then lastly here, he had a ministry that outlived him. John chapter number 10, the last couple verses of the chapter. John chapter number 10, verse number 40. And went away again, this is Jesus going, and went away again beyond Jordan in the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. At this point, John is dead. But can I tell you, this man had a great ministry because his word, even when he was gone, was still leading others to Christ. Like I said a minute ago, it was a simple ministry. He was just to tell others about Christ. And can I tell you, you see in this verse, I talked to Pastor about this earlier, John didn't do no miracle. John's words was enough. Can I tell you, Jesus is the miracle worker, not us. Jesus is the miracle worker, not John. John used his words to lead others to Christ, and they outlived him. His words outlived him. Can I tell you, Chad, you said it just the other day, your words are going to outlive you. What are others going to remember you from? These people right here are believing. After John's dead, they're believing on Christ. Why? Because of what John said. So anyways, in closing here, can I say a great life starts with preparation. Parents, make sure you're preparing your children for a great life, for a great calling, for a great ministry. Make sure that if you have children, and if you are kids living in a godly home, you ought to be being encouraged. Can I tell you, those that are not growing up in a godly home, those that don't have the godly parents to lead them, study and be faithful to the house of God. Be prepared. Live in the will of God that He's got in front of you right now, and the calling will continue to come. Can I tell you that a great life has a biblical call that pushes us to confidence and perseverance? And a great life has a ministry that we're to tell others about Him. Can I tell you, do you want a great life? John, Christ said He was the greatest. And his life was all about his call, and his call was all about Christ. Thank you. If somebody wants to come and to the piano for a minute. Every head bowed, every eyes closed.
If the Lord spoke to you, just do business with Him.